Well, hello everybody up there in Music Video Land. Welcome to yet another edition of This Week in Music Videos, the Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your good friends at imvdb.com, the internet music video database. My name is Adam of the IMVDB, and then with me as usual from Manhattan, New York. What's the nickname for Manhattan? I believe it's the Big Enchilada. Is Mr. Doug Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. They're here to see you. VIP-ness.
Oh, God. I hope I didn't watch the video that lyric came from this week. Because if I missed that, and that didn't set off alarm bells in my head, then I am not paying attention. Although that sounds like something 2 Chainz would say.
Yeah, it's not. It's from the Sticky Drama video. You just you don't understand the lyrics. I just pulled up this lyric sheet and it was like, I should just quote this song going forward because absolutely. So many good opportunities.
And then with us from North of the Wall, a fringe music fix, is Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, Adam. I'm ready for my my second favorite thing, which is talking about music videos. First is watching them.
Wow.
Ready to talk about them.
So it's interesting that you separate those into two different things.
They're two completely different things for me.
And dare I ask what the third thing that you enjoy is?
The third thing would be posting sharing music videos. I like that too. I just music videos.
I call all those things one thing. I call that all music video in.
You just say music video.
Don't tell your family about that. is hanging out with your family like 15th or something?
Yeah, that's way down there. That's after like
your family, Adam, in your top 3.
You know what? I haven't thought about my top 3 yet, but you know, I'll get back to you guys at the end. I didn't know we were going to be ranking.
Don't put me at the spot on my top 3.
Yeah,
we're ranking life today. Wow, we weren't prepared for that.
Never prepared. Well, you gotta be prepared for the things you can't prepare for. That's what
life's about. Adam Alexander, how are you not ready for it when you led with this conversation?
Oh, I'm ready for it.
First opportunity to talk. It was like, here's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was ready to rank life, but you guys weren't prepared.
You have your whole 10 sketched out there in front of you?
No, I've got the top. Well, no, I had the top 2. So that's true. I didn't have the top 10.
Ad-libbed 3. Tight. Okay, cool. Now we've cleared that up.
Well, speaking of ranking things, which is my segue, because I'm good at that, mm-hmm. we have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We have a great, albeit bizarre, lineup of music videos. We have some TV to talk about, what happened this past Saturday, which is interesting. But at the top of the show, we have to talk about what happened in LA this past weekend, which is the Los Angeles Music Video Festival. Which has, I feel like, the greatest name out of all the music video festivals, the LA MVF. Rolls off the tongue. Put together by our good friends, Colleen and Sammy, at LA MVF. This is in their, I believe it's their 5th or 6th year?
5.
5, exactly, yes. And we have been, Doug, you have been to this event. I have not.
Yeah, a couple times.
Neither of us were able to make it out to LA this year. However, our contributor to the blog, Caleb Jackson, was able to go out there and posted a really insightful kind of recap of the show, which was great. I felt like I was there.
Yeah, totally. I felt like I was there too. It was like we went together for the first time.
Yeah, we went together and we like kind of held hands the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird that he included that, but I think that's pretty nice.
Listen, Caleb is a professional, and when he knows things happen, he's got to kind of report on them.
Definitely. So this event is interesting for a number of reasons. One of them is that it's in LA, really the heart of music video production in the world, one could argue. And it also has a number of really excellent panels. One of them that Caleb talks about is a panel featuring Daniels, Isaac Ravishankara, Eli Stoneberg, and Hannah Lux Davis.
Ever heard of them?
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing panel. The panel is called Music Video Launchpad, which is I would love to see that. It sounds like an amazing panel. Another one featured sort of commissioners and other people in the industry, which we posted a picture of on a Twitter. At IMVDB, including our pal Devin Sorno at Warner Brothers. And who else was on that panel?
I saw Jason Baum in there.
That's right.
Looking cool. Former resident of this podcast.
That's right. Fly as ever.
Fly as ever.
So it sounded like a pretty amazing event. And we have, in addition to the post on the page, we have a page with the winners of the different categories. There's one category that's not on there. LIMVF includes a category for unofficial videos, and our database does not list unofficial videos because we got to cut it off somewhere, and that's the kind of the line we've drawn. So that is not on there, but we do have all the nominees for all the categories. And I'll just read the categories real quick because there are not a lot of them. Student, animation, non-narrative, and narrative. I know that, and they also gave out an award for best visual effects.
And they're actually also voting on an audience award still. And you can go online and vote. And there'll be a link in the show notes to where you can do that.
Definitely.
So you can watch these videos, pick your fave, and still vote.
Absolutely. So one of the ones that I was really happy to see win was Gold by Chet Faker, directed by Hiro Murai. And from Doomsday Entertainment, the venerable music video production company, which is a music video that I found myself, it's from 2014, late 2014, but I find myself coming back to it over and over again, that one in the non-narrative category. So congrats, Hiro. I am jealous that Caleb got to see that on the big screen because it's one of the fun of these festivals is going to see music videos on the big screen. It's not a super common thing to be able to see that, so when you're able to, it's really cool, and I would love that. That is a very cinematic video, very kind of dark video. I would love to see that on the big screen.
Yeah, but so many of these, and that's one of the things. I talked to Caleb about his time at the fest, and that was one of his biggest takeaways was how much more he got from videos that he had seen, and how much he loved videos that he hadn't all on that big screen. He talks about how you're able to see so much more detail, and anyone who's seen a music video on a computer and then on a screen in a theater can probably had similar experiences.
Big night for Doomsday too, because James Lee's video "The Future Is Slow Coming" by Benjamin Booker won for best narrative,
which is also a fantastic video.
Yeah, amazing video, DP'd by Jackson Hunt. I believe we talked about that video when it came out on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other videos that Caleb talks about seeing on the big screen is Sober by Childish Gambino, another one directed by Hiro Murai. So some sweet Doomsday stuff wall to wall over here.
Doomsday popping off.
Popping off. Doomsday, I think don't they have a house?
They do.
Man, that's just...
Man, could you imagine having a house?
Well, I have a regular house, but it's just me and...
But there's no music video antics going on.
No, it's just the dogs and my wife and I. So there's not a lot of music video antics popping off.
There is antics, though.
Right. Yeah.
Mainly dog antics.
Pretty tame antics, though. I have a feeling at Doomsday some antics are going down.
Oh, shit. Don't start any rumors.
I'm not starting any rumors.
Okay.
But I Good. Did hear... I shouldn't say.
You should. So LA Music Video Fest, that's sweet. Look at the videos, vote on your favorites, be a part of it, even from the internet.
That's right, yeah. And Doug, you went to the fourth annual Las
Vegas. No, I went to 2 and 3.
2 and 3, that's right. Wow, I've got terrible, terrible facts this year.
It's fine.
And I believe in one of the years past, Eric Wareheim has been sort of like a special celebrity guest. I believe it was last year.
No, it was two.
why can't I get any numbers right? So
the second year Wareheim was there, and he was the keynote speaker.
Right.
And this year that was... I was going to let you pick up where...
Oh, okay. I thought you were just like looking it up. It was Kimbra.
Yeah, right. No, I forgot. Who was Kimbra? Yeah.
No. which is really exciting because Kimbra kind of occupies a really interesting space in the music video, like modern history. You know, we've talked a lot about in past podcasts about, you know, how music videos kind of rose again to their prominence that they had in, you know, the pre-internet era where they were just viewable on MTV. And, you know, that story starts in 2011, and it starts around the time somebody that I used to know by Goche, featuring Kimbra, became a huge, massive, successful video. I feel like that's kind of like the mile marker for music videos kind of coming back to resurgence, the video directed by Natasha Pincus. And since then, Kimbra has had, I mean, she's put out a ton of music videos and had some really amazing ones. I think one that comes to mind is Cameo Lover from 2011, directed by Guy Franklin, who was at the LA MVF with Kimbra to talk about their music videos.
Right. And they've worked together on several videos.
A bunch of them, yeah. They did Good Intent and Cameo Lover and Come Into My Head.
Yeah, I think Come Into My Head is probably my favorite of their
collabs. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Doug.
But I also really love Cameo Lover. And I think that, you know, Kimbra is like the perfect artist for this because she's a pretty recognizable pop star. You know, she's been in videos that, you know, a lot of people have recognized. You know, we're going to talk about SNL in a little bit, and she's been in a music video that's been parodied on SNL. But also she's an artist who's clearly, like, she is an artist clearly seems to care about her music videos, because I think that's the only way that you're going to find a true thread in a pop artist music video of just like quality across the line is when that person like really seems to care about it. Cause otherwise, like an artist could just like get it right and like get with a director that works. And then they can do five videos afterwards that aren't great. But Kimbra's music videos kind of like are consistently pretty strong. And that indicates to me that she cares about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. She was really a great choice to be a part of the festival this year. And it sounds like it was an amazing time. So, check out Caleb's recap on the blog.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of stuff in the show notes, LAMVF related. So,
appropriately titled 2015 LAMVF recap,
which
is gone a lot of ways with that one.
Yeah. It was based on the title of the 2013 LAMVF recap, which was called 2013 LAMVF recap.
Right.
So we have a trend going.
Definitely. Two things make a trend.
Yep.
So Doug, you mentioned Saturday Night Live.
I did.
I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in a little bit. I used to be like a constant Saturday night watcher.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of always doing that, but I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit. And this past weekend, Donald Trump hosted Saturday Night Live. And, you know, say what you will about Donald Trump, but that show posted the biggest ratings that Saturday Night Live has had since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years. So pretty big deal. It was a very high-profile show. Donald Trump was not in it that much. But it didn't really matter. It was sort of all about, you know, him being there and being a presence at the show. But I watched it on Saturday night and was struck by the amount of sketches and other performance bits that centered around music videos. And as a premise, some of them actually kind of hinged on you actually having seen a music video. Which is new, definitely new. And Doug, you mentioned Kimbra. They did a parody of somebody that I used to know back a few years ago. But this is different. This was a kind of a large chunk of the show kind of referencing
music. Yeah, this was the Kimbra one. It was Gauthier was the musical guest, and it was just kind of like a quick, almost like digital short. I think it was just like almost probably just like a minute and a half sketch.
Yeah, it was very, very quick, yeah.
Where Andy Samberg just like slowly integrated more and more in his like interactions with Gauthier into the music video, where eventually like – Gauthier standing there normal and Andy Samberg is covered in paint and suddenly the background is also paint.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very small part of the show where, yeah, you're right. This week, like music videos were referenced at three points of the show that took up like a large chunk of airtime.
Yeah, one of them was I found probably the most surprising was a sketch that featured all the female cast members of the show and was like a direct reference to the MIA Bad Girls video
mm-hmm.
that came out, I think it's 2012.
Yeah, so that's it's almost 4 years ago.
That video is like kind of old and this was – the premise of it was that, you know, all these girls were – they were little kind of like inserts where they were doing things that were – kind of bad, but not really. They were thinking they were quote unquote bad girls. Like, you know, this, A.D. Bryant would get into an elevator and everybody would be going to like, you know, the 60th floor and she'd say, I'm going to 2. And so the joke is that they think they're bad, but they're really just kind of, doing very kind of normal, almost annoying stuff.
But like in between these bits is basically like a pretty good reenactment of essentially the actual Bad Girls video with like car stunts and horses. Just kind of like horses and choreographed dance and wild behavior.
Yeah, they even went as far as to like copy some of the costumes that MIA wears in the video. You know, mm-hmm. she has that kind of I don't even know what you call it, but there's a certain type of hat that she has. And they're referencing that. And if you are a general TV viewer who has never seen Bad Girls, which I feel like is probably a good chunk of the SNL viewing audience, you are not – all of those references are going completely over your head.
Yeah. The other music video that was directly parodied in this episode is the Drake Hotline Bling video, which like was a story in itself just a couple weeks ago for being this meme story where – it was removed from the music video and turned into this like pop culture thing. So the idea that was being parodied on SNL makes tons of sense. But this Bad Girls video from several years ago, Adam, do you remember, excuse me, you mentioned you don't watch SNL so frequently, but this is actually kind of a follow-up sketch. There was a sketch called Say What You Want to Say that essentially featured all of the same SNL characters, like being slightly rudely honest to people.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
And then, like, basically it was the same thing where it would be these little, like, inserts, and in between the punchline would be them dancing to that Brave song by Sarah Mary Ellis. Oh, I do remember that,
yeah, but yeah.
And it would be, you know, like it. Somebody will go up to A.D. Bryant and be like, "Hey, it's great." Like someone she hadn't seen in a while. It's like, "Oh, it's great to see you. We should exchange numbers." And she's like, "No, I haven't seen you in a while, and it's gonna stay that way." And then she's like, turns around and like, "I want to see you be brave, whatever." So I think this is like a kind of like a sister sketch to that one, if not like a direct follow up.
But I believe that one was also kind of a reference to the music video, which is not, I mean, the music video for Brave by Sarah Barry Ellis is essentially people dancing in public. And I believe played the song, yeah, they would dance and kind of like do a little kind of funny dance, which could be interpreted as kind of referencing the video. But that video is, although it's a great video, is very generic. Directed by Rashida Jones, by the way, which is...
Oh, right.
Yeah. Remember that?
We definitely talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, she's only directed one video as far as I can tell. And this one was very, very specific. There were a lot of like images and references in there that you would only get. You could still enjoy the sketch without having ever seen that video, but you would only get if you've seen that video, which was interesting. Yeah. Right. It's interesting to see on such a big scale, kind of like deep references that are tangential to the main point of a joke being thrown out there that are directly related to music videos. So that was definitely kind of a first for SNL, I think.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the other, like you said, so they also did a Hotline Bling parody, which was super, like, super weak, I feel like. The whole premise of it was that, you know, all these, you know, quote unquote nerdy white guys like to dance like Drake in there, in the Hotline Bling video. So they had them in, you know, their sweater vests and stuff.
I think the basic premise of that video is a little flawed, though, because the overwhelming – I don't think the overwhelming opinion from the Drake video is that he is dancing poorly. Some people think that.
Yeah.
And that is the opinion of a significant portion of people who've watched it. But there's also an equally significant portion of people who are very – like who find his dance moves appealing for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And so – and like think it's good.
Yeah, actually, I rewatched that video today on like my TV in my living room, which, you know, I just kind of rewatched a few videos to get the theater experience, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam. And there really isn't anything in there that is kind of like awkward and unintentionally awkward. It is all extremely calculated and all and so like, you know, very, very well put together,
right,
and so knowing about everything that's going on. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, it's a very kind of on the nose, like easy joke. So I think that's why
it makes sense if you've only seen the video as a meme.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like this video references the meme, mm-hmm, because if you've only seen a little piece of Drake dancing poorly or dancing in the way that he does in this video, then maybe you do think like, oh, this is a video Drake dancing bad. But yeah, nothing is accidental and nothing is like somebody being caught off guard thinking they're good when they're not. The one thing I will give this sketch credit for, though, is nailing the wardrobe of.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Nailing the wardrobe.
And the production design. They did it unbelievably. And I feel like that opening shot of the video, not the one, you know, the video has this little prologue where it's a bunch of women dressed the same in a call center. Not that shot, but the one that starts at the same time the song does. It's kind of, I feel like it's going to become, if it not already, has become kind of an iconic music video shot. Because mm-hmm, if you have to pull out anything from that music video, that kind of encompasses everything. You know, it's got Drake in it. It's got the weird space that the video is existing in. It's got the colors, it's got the titles. But they also, they nail the production design. And also in an episode that, you know, when Donald Trump hosts SNL, he was only on there for 12 minutes out of the whole 90 minute episode. But usually he's playing himself. He played a few characters here and there, but he plays an accountant in this, kind of dancing and singing "You Used to Call Me on the Cell Phone." Which was there was my favorite like Donald Trump moment of the night.
It was kind of
funny. It was endearing in a way.
The character is basically himself with glasses. but it is endearing, and I guess that's that's the problem of this whole episode. And then we're not going to go down that road, but to like endear this type of person, whatever. But that moment has become a meme too now. I've seen on Twitter people like using the Donald Trump dancing in that video as like a visual, like a reaction gif to show excitement. You know, like heat game got me like, and then you put that gif and that would mean that the heat game got you excited.
Did the heat game get you excited, Doug?
A lot of them have so far. Nice. They didn't play tonight, but
the abundance of the gifts is something that I feel like is almost kind of a calculation on the part of maybe not, I'm sure for music videos, but also for SNL, you know, I feel like they want to kind of get in on that action. They feel like, okay, if we do something that looks exactly like the Hotline Bling video and add some like funny stuff to it, like we're going to get the Hotline Bling bump.
Oh, yeah, totally. They want in on that Hotline Bling action for sure. That GIF action.
And, you know, the Bad Girls sketch isn't doing that. Nothing else is going to do that.
No, but that shit is funny. The Bad Girls sketch was was really funny.
It was pretty funny, yeah. And then so the third thing that was, you know, and this is all in, like, the first, like, half an hour of the show. The third thing that was music video related was Sia was a musical guest, and she did... You know, we've talked on many episodes about how Sia really enjoys reenacting her music videos in live performances on TV.
She loves
it. What's that?
She loves it.
It's her, yeah, it's her thing. Like, you know, last time around, she, you know, carted around Maddie Ziegler, or sometimes Lena Dunham, depending on who was available, to kind of reenact the video for Chandelier.
I love the idea of picturing Sia with Maddie Ziegler on a literal cart. Yeah. Like she's got her on a cart. Here we're going, like just like one of those carts that you get at IKEA when you go look for your boxes.
I think that's not too far off. I don't think
she's got her on that. Cool.
So this one was a basically the same thing with Sia reenacting her video for Alive,
which we'll talk about next.
We should talk about that next. Yeah. Which was different.
We're doing a weird order now, referencing the music video before we discuss it.
Yeah. Well, we could might as well talk about the music video now.
Yeah, we can do both now. That's what we're doing. Holy shit.
The live performance is basically, you know, it's almost like, you know, how The Lion King was such a huge movie in the 90s when we were kids. And then it became, you know, the stage play. It's kind of like the stage play version of the music video, I feel like Sia is trying to do.
Right.
All the time. And this was no different. This was basically, you know, Alive was basically a live stage rendition of her video.
So let's talk about quickly then what the video is. Sia Alive, directed by Sia, Daniel Askill, who are the Sia obviously the artist, but Daniel, the two of them co-directed the trilogy of videos featuring Maddie Ziegler from the previous Sia album.
Mm-hmm. And just speaking of Sia's previous trilogy, can we just mention that Elastic Heart featuring Shia LaBeouf? Shia LaBeouf is back in the news.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
His movie marathon where
everybody at the Vimeo office was talking about trying to go to one of the movies.
Oh, because it's in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's talking about it. Like, oh, I'd love to go watch Even Stevens with him, or like just everyone's got their own random movie that they want to see with him.
Oh, that's crazy.
I watched the live stream for a while today. He was sleeping, and I just sat there and watched him sleep.
That was Transformers?
I'm not sure what movie
I think it that's was. What I think. I think that's what it is, Transformers.
So I just wanted to mention something to you guys real quick that kind of impacts IMDb that I just noticed, which is I just noticed this, and it's kind of a big deal because this is a big change. Vivo has changed the watermark that they put on YouTube videos. Have you guys noticed this?
What did they change it to?
So we all know the Vivo, the former Vivo watermark, which is the a red and pink kind of like leaf that goes into the into the video with the Vivo thing, and that's gone. Now the pink thing has been removed, and now the Vivo lettering remains, just in white on the bottom of the video.
I don't see. I still see the leaf.
Still in the thumbnail, though.
No. The thumbnail has changed. I now see a different thumbnail. And if I go ahead and if I run the process on the site for like go to the Shia LaBeouf Elastic Heart version, I have changed the I've run the
oh my god
the thumbnail process on it.
Oh yes,
I still have it though for the old one. I mean for Alive, it's still got a leaf.
Huh.
Oh my god, though, Vivo, what are you doing to us?
Well, that's great actually because it takes the color out of it. It just has that
neutral white. Yeah, no, I agree. It's a lot more tasteful.
That is a lot more tasteful. That's fantastic.
Good on you, Vivo. Way to go, Vives.
Thanks, Vives. Well, anyway, so
Alive. Alive has a little girl too.
Life has a little girl too. Little girl's doing martial arts. So hot right now. I don't know if you guys saw the video of the little girl with the sword. Adam, did you see that?
Oh yeah, so good. She's crazy. Yeah.
She's crazy. She has the intensity of a thousand suns.
I want to cart her around with me when I have to go out late at night. She'd be like,
I don't want to talk about carting around anymore.
Well, she'd be like my protection, though.
Oh, I get what you mean.
Nothing dirty.
Of course fucking not anything dirty.
She would protect, she protects me from the people that want to violate me.
Right.
What is your town like?
It's crazy, man.
where you need 9-year-old ninjas to protect you.
I'm in like the boonies here. Like yeah. This is like, you know, this is crazy.
They're
crazy.
Dangerous people there.
It's like woodsy people, like in horror movies.
So Alive features this little girl, as we've mentioned. And this little girl, I think one of like the visually striking things about this is that she is wearing the Sia wig. It seems like a chunkier version of the Sia wig, though.
Yeah.
Has a little more chunk to it. The last one was kind of a little stringier. And this one has a really striking visual detail where it's black on one side and blonde on the other side. Not quite white, but blonde. And the entire video, literally the entire thing, is basically this little girl kind of doing karate moves.
They call those things something.
She's doing some sort of exercise. It's not like she's just like flipping her shit the entire
time. No, but they call those routines something. Kata.
That sounds right, yeah. Did you send me an email about that? I feel like I've read that term today before.
Really? No. I think I just it's just like a choreographed pattern of movements practiced either solo or in pairs. I got that from Wikipedia just now. But kata, I mean, I took karate, and I knew there was a phrase. I was, like, great at karate for, like...
You took karate?
Every kid in South Florida took karate for at least a couple of months.
Interesting.
Like, tried it out, you know. I took guitar lessons, too, for, like, 15 minutes. Did you just stop there?
After 15 minutes of playing guitar?
No, after guitar lessons, you stopped and stuck with it. I went to guitar lessons. Is like, I don't like this. And then they're like, "Move karate stick store."
Yeah, I took guitar lessons for a while. Yeah, I wasn't really a karate kid.
But you could fucking shred.
Well, yeah, back in my middle school days, big time shredding.
And I remember we performed "Come With Me" by P. Diddy featuring Jimmy Page.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. so the little girl in this is Mihiro Takana. And yeah, she's performing this routine the entire time, which I have to admit, like you really have to focus on this video to get anything out of it. I feel like you really have to be emotionally invested in this little girl, and they don't give her any backstory. She just is there. One of the little interesting details that Sia and Daniel Askell put in there is that she has like kind of like a hot plate that she's making like food on, and that's what she's doing in the beginning of the video, and then she gets up to do this routine, which is an interesting little detail.
It's interesting that it's impossible, you know. I have a feeling, you know, Sia is performing this video, you know, taking elements from this video and using them in her performances just like she did previously. So it's hard not to think that Sia is going to do 3 music videos in a row with this young girl. And it's going to mirror the last trilogy in a lot of ways. And so it's going to be tough for it not to just kind of get direct comparisons. And I think it, you know, with the same directors and a lot of the same folks behind it, you know, it's going to be hard to avoid that. And I think, if you're trying to do that, that's kind of a bit of a disservice to this video. Which maybe it's being set up in a way that's going to make that impossible to avoid, but,
what's a disservice?
It's a disservice to this video if you want to try to compare it to Chandelier, because it's a different video. And what is good about this video is not like what's good about Chandelier is not what's good about this video. But that doesn't mean this video is bad, is my point. Is that like if you're going to say like the things about Chandelier is that like it takes modern dance and it presents it in a way that is like entertaining to people who don't find modern dance entertaining. And it's set in a location that is very diverse and interesting and unique and tells a story on its own. And this is a video with a lot more subtle karate and in a location that is a lot more stark and less interesting. And therefore, if you're going to like kind of compare it on those two very surface level elements, that it's going to be like, well, Live's not as good. But I think you need to try to like not do that Like you said, you used to talk about trying to focus on it, and I think it's more about like trying to just separate it from the trilogy of videos that we're just coming off of from Sia and from Daniel Askill.
I know, I understand that, and I understand not comparing it to the other one. I don't think even mentally I was doing that.
No, I didn't really do that either.
But
wow, really?
At the same time, the parallels between Chandelier and this video are very overt.
I mean,
it is a little girl in a tan costume, wearing a Sia wig, in like a dilapidated location, with no other visible support structure or adults near her, doing some sort of choreographed movement. I mean, it is so similar in so many ways.
It's very similar in spirit, for sure, definitely. Right.
Yeah, and like in terms of like Sia trying to empower, you know, young women, that's something that, you know, is a theme in all of these videos as well. But but everything else, I think you need to look at with fresh eyes, beyond those like very like clearly unavoidable connections.
But what, so Doug, in this video, what did you feel like were the things that really emotionally connected for you in this video?
Well, I think it is kind of in this subtleties and in this like kind of, whereas Maddie, it still kind of comes from the performance of the girl in the video, and I think whereas Maddie Ziegler is like kind of hooks you immediately and is doing things that are both like kind of very animated and a lot more
emotive. Possibly, yeah. More emotive.
Yeah, and I think that there's a subtlety in the performance of Mahiro Takana that if you were able to kind of like give it time to you know, kind of like grow, that she kind of maintains something throughout the video that is really kind of interesting and captivating throughout. Just like a lot more subtle burn.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And this video performed remarkably well. I mean, it's been out for less than a week and it's got 6 million views, which is not, I guess we have to compare everything to Hello Now, not Hello levels, but it is extremely
again,
successful.
Also not, and again, it's also not Chandelier level. Chandelier is knocking on a billion view door.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And Chandelier is every piece of that video is so just emotive and like loud and exciting, even for something that on paper doesn't really sound that interesting. For this is, you know, I think Sia and Daniel Askill have been moving in this direction where they are asking more and more of their audience. You can put on Chandelier in a room of people that have never even heard of Sia, and people are going to turn their head and they're going to watch and they're going to enjoy it for the most part. And then we've kind of been going down this thing where, you know, for Elastic Heart, it was still incredibly entertaining, but you had to kind of focus on the interpretive dance aspect of it. And now we're at this point where they're asking us to really, it's like kind of like they're kind of tricking us into watching, you know, like, really abstract, like, you know, indie film kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're introduced to a character with, you know, in a very unconventional way, and you watch them for 4 minutes doing, you know, karate routine. I look through the comments of a lot of these videos to kind of gauge people's reactions. And there are very few people being like, "Oh, this is really super boring." A lot of people are captivated by this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I do feel like, you know, you might get a different, because what you kind of got with the last trilogy is it kind of like started really high with Chandelier, and then like the energy kind of slowly went downward through the next two videos. And maybe this will be kind of the opposite direction if we do start to see, companion videos to this one.
Well, I think they just got more not inaccessible, but
Kind of, in a way, though. Chandelier was strangely accessible. I don't know if it was based on Maddie's performance alone or just that there's no semblance of a narrative in this one at all, whereas the last three did have some sort of a storytelling component to them.
It's interesting that, like, when Chandelier came out, I would have never thought, like, a year later I would be talking about how accessible that video is. It's just incredible how music videos kind of are constantly – it's, you know, they – obviously they come out in at different times and are, you know, a moving art form force in themselves, but they're always moving the goalposts down the road.
Yeah.
And kind of reinventing what is normal and what is, you know, it's interesting to think of, like, if Hotline Bling came out for, like, a rap song in 1997, like, what people would have thought of it. And to think of, you know, Hotline, that kind of video coming out in 2015 and people just absolutely losing their shit over it and loving it is really interesting.
Yeah. So that was a good transition from SNL to Sia.
Now we're going to do another transition?
Well, now here we are just, I'm just saying, here we are now talking about music videos. So what's the next one on our list?
Doug, well, you've had some strong opinions of what in our watch list should be chucked and which one has got to stay in. So I think I'm going to leave this one up to you.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure. Let's talk about this song, for the music video for Sticky Drama by a band that I call OPN because that's what their Twitter handle is. And also, I don't know how to say this first word. Does anyone know want to say it?
I think it's 1-0-Trix, just how it looks.
1-0-Trix point never.
I am in agreement with Adam.
1-0-Trix. When I see like so many vowels in a row and stuff, I like start to try to separate them in weird ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough. You've never had 1-0-Trix breakfast cereal, Doug? It's not, might be just a Canadian thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Adam, both of us know that every good Canadian knows about the 1-0-Trix.
What do the bad Canadians know about?
Don't ask what the bad Canadians know.
Oh shit, take it easy.
They know where to find things.
Back up.
Well, this video, I mean, it's probably a good intro to this video. Talk about what the bad Canadians do, because this is a bizarre video.
It's not accessible at all.
Yeah.
Not accessible.
Well, I accessed it as well, but I like weird things. This is weird. This is definitely a strange video.
And it's a music video with a prologue that was Vimeo staff picked before the music video came out.
So yeah, because this video is 5 minutes and 48 seconds long. And it's mostly – there's actually music in most of it. So this prologue is like another 10 minutes tacked onto this?
No, it's another like four or 5 minutes.
Oh.
So did only the prologue get a staff pick?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Adam's judging.
I'm not judging. I just find it very interesting.
Well, it came out first.
Yeah. And obviously directed by the same people, John Raffman and Daniel Lopatin.
Yeah.
So I'm going to attempt to describe this video. It really, well,
and there's some good, Adam Alexander sometimes gives notes for what we should talk about with these videos. And Adam Alexander had some great notes that I think we should also throw into the early portions of this conversation.
Right. Sure. Yeah, Adam, take us through. So, Adam, your notes, you've got two kind of references. One is LARPing and one is these trauma films. If you can,
right.
Tell us a little bit about both of these, because this is probably something that I am very kind of like vaguely familiar with both of these.
Mm-hmm. Right. So LARPing is exactly what we see in this video. It's when people dress up and they do live action role playing. So basically like a live action Dungeons and Dragons where they've got different characters. They all portray a character. And there was a movie that came out a while back called Role Models, which also dealt with this trend.
Yeah, Mick Lovin is a LARPer.
Yes. And so, yeah, that's the first main component of this video, is that we see a bunch of people participating in LARPing.
There's also a Robo Shobo video about LARPing that we talked about on this podcast. Whatever. It happened.
Doug is you're not trying to search for it right now, are you?
No, there's no website that allow you to do that.
Is it Na Na Na?
I don't know. Who's the artist?
Or My Chemical Romance?
No. Are you on Robo's page?
Yeah, I'm just going to read you all of his videos.
No, it's the... Okay, go ahead. This is the part of the podcast where we read
off. No, he's got a lot of videos. He's got too many videos to do.
I can tell you if I can...
Warmer?
It was a metal video. Can you...
It's not I Had This Thing by Royskop, is it?
No, it's Mastodon High Road, maybe.
Huh.
Yeah, Mastodon High Road is about LARPing.
Huh, okay.
Boom, fucking found it.
Nice.
Nice, I'm good. Finished by Devin Sorno.
And before you were so rudely interrupted.
Right, so the video actually has like a very, well, albeit quite confusing and surreal. It does have some sort of a narrative to it. Basically, just that we've got two sides of these LARPing teams that are combating, and are basically, we've got our a protagonist and an antagonist, and the protagonist has some kind of rash on his face, which kind of looks kind of weird, for sure.
Did you watch the prologue?
I didn't watch the prologue, so does it establish things further?
Yeah, it kind of sets up where some of that stuff comes from.
Tell us about it.
It's the other guy. He burns him.
Ah, okay.
Cool. But most people in this are disfigured in some way.
Right. Right. But that, yeah, a lot of that happens in the, well, some of that happens in the prologue.
Okay.
But he gets burned with the goo.
Right. The goo is the central, it's coming out of the walls, it's coming out of, it's used as a weapon, but it's just like tan goo. There's also the character of this woman, or not woman, girl. She looks like she's 14 or so.
Well, yeah, all the characters are, you know, kind of middle school age.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to describe the plot in this because it's fruitless. But I will say what kind of like captivated me throughout this entire video, and it is the crazy costumes.
Yeah, the production design in general, but the costume design is my favorite as well. But just in general, the art direction and production design in this video is fantastic.
My personal favorite is, and I don't really know what the character names are, but there's one character who has kind of a vest made of Tamagotchi.
Yeah, he's basically the antagonist of the video.
Right, yeah. Right. He is, yeah. And he kind of leads the band of everybody who's dressed all in black.
Yeah, they're basically attacking the house of this other kid. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's his sister or his a girlfriend or something in the house, and she's in a dress made of CDs. The art direction is very much like sourced of like, it's like a, you know, late 90s, early 2000 art direction, but like mixed with some 2015 art direction. It's like if kids were today were super influenced by when we were kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is basically, you know, and which kind of they are.
Right.
You know, but you can also tell that this stuff was actually sourced and made by people who actually lived in that era. But it's made to feel like these kids have made all of these costumes. But the stakes are actually high, right? People are actually getting fucked up.
Which is confusing because in the beginning, there's this kind of slow motion fight. And that's where I was like, oh, this is must be LARPing because they're not actually hitting each other.
Yeah.
They're sort of like it's very clear that they're kind of missing each other, even though it's kind of cut. But then you realize like a lot of these people have like sores on their face and are disfigured in some way. So it's coming from a lot of different places, it feels like.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super entertaining and super weird and gross. And they also use one of those hoverboards, which is a stupid name for them because They have wheels.
Do you still see those around the streets of New York City, Doug?
Not as frequently. I see them sometimes, and sometimes they seem like it's a novelty. Like it'll be like a 14-year-old kid and his dad riding around, and like the dad just looks so annoyed. And the little kid is like literally like rolling on it by himself and trying to spin around and stuff. But then when he has to stop at the crosswalk, he has to like grab his dad's shoulder to stop. but then I also have seen people like in the bike lane, you know, in a suit and tie, trying to like roll on one of those as if it's going to really make their commute more convenient. And none of those people can like anytime somebody, like I've seen one roll by and the people behind me and in front of me, I heard like being like, I'm walking faster than that dude. Like that's their response. So, but that stuff is in the video, right? It does have like a lot of 2015 stuff too.
Yeah.
And so it's a very interesting mix, but, and like kind of like a bad guy or kind of thing is Tamagotchi related to, and is the Green Ooze like kind of supposed to be based on GAC, do you think? Or like Nickelodeon Slime?
Yeah, it does have that color to it. Adam, you remember Nickelodeon Slime, right?
Yeah, for sure. Or the Canadian sort of offshoot, which was you can't do that on television. They did
which was on Nickelodeon, and that used the slime.
No, it was on YTV, wasn't it, Adam?
It could have been in syndication. I don't know who made it.
You can't do that on television. It was definitely played on Nickelodeon in the States.
Well, it was played on Nickelodeon in the States, but originally, hold on,
you're probably right.
I just think it might have been a Canadian production, but I think both networks played it.
It was absolutely Canadian production. It was funnily, my mom did not – you can't do that on television for those who haven't seen it, is a weird show in a lot of ways. And I don't say that like it's kooky weird. It kind of – if you watch it now, you're like – If I saw this as a kid, this would kind of like fuck me up. And
they had like a sketch where like one of the like reoccurring characters was someone who was like a prisoner, like attached to the wall.
Yeah,
and it was like kind of like just like a zany interaction with his torturer.
Or there was Barf's Burgers where the kids would eat at this burger shop run by like a dirty, like gross looking guy, and he would put like socks in their burgers and stuff. And there was a lot of like nightmarish / like weird, just like mind fuck kind of stuff in there.
And a lot of gross out humor.
Yeah, but I feel like I think
Alanis Morissette was on it.
She was,
yeah. And it did originate in Canada in like the early 80s. And my mom would not let us watch that show.
No, I wasn't allowed either.
Yeah. But Adam, you should ask your mom about that because my mom does not remember ever having banned us from watching that. But I very distinctly remember that being like the taboo show to watch.
Yeah, there were a few for me. We couldn't watch The Simpsons, and Married with Children was another one. Music videos in general.
I don't think I was allowed to watch. I wasn't allowed to watch The Critic of all shows.
Really?
And it was like such a thing, like, because I was allowed to watch The Simpsons, and then The Critic would come on after, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, maybe my mom just hated John Lovitz or whatever, but would not let me, and I was so upset because I loved The Critic as a kid. No, you cannot watch dry New York humor in animated form. Yeah.
That's
what a weird show to have to not be allowed to watch.
Ask your mom about that, because I find like parents like
she definitely will not remember that.
Yeah,
no, she doesn't even remember that the show The Critic exists.
Exactly. Yeah. If you ask you're like, hey, because my brother Derek, who's close to me in age, we both very vividly remember that, and spent one Christmas a few years ago, kind of like nonstop giving my mom shit about that, kind of like in a playful way, like you don't remember. She didn't even remember the show.
Yeah,
but it was so different and so weird at that time. And this music video kind of reminds me of that. And part of it is the slime, but part of it is the way they are kind of playing on a lot of really under the surface concepts with a lot of this video. In a way that, you can't do that on television. A lot of what they did were playing on a lot of things that made kids uneasy about sitcoms and made kids uneasy about a lot of things that they saw on television, and like children's fears, basically, in really kind of sick, twisted ways. And this kind of like plays on, I think if I was like somebody this age watching this video, I think I might be like a little freaked out by this.
Oh, it's, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Because that shit is real.
It
when
is,
I was in
yeah.
seventh grade, people I thought were my friends egged my house.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
That sucks. What the,
should, should I call him out? Fucking Jeremy Palachowski, Anthony Giorgio, fucking Alex Lacoste, all those fuckers.
Man, what was their – did you ask them why they did it? Why they
– because I was just friends with snotty kids. And I went, and I was like out of town for Halloween. Hmm. I was in New York with my family who loves me, not like those guys who took advantage of my my trust and friendship.
Like we would never – Adam and I would never take advantage of your trust and friendship.
You guys promise?
Oh, yeah. We 100% promise. Right, Adam?
Pinky swear.
Nice.
You sure, Adam Alexander?
I'm positive, Doug.
Okay, cool. Well, let's move on to the next
video. Let's hug it out and move on.
Okay, cool. One let's talk about...
one more?
Oh, shit. Just one more music video. Then we got to talk about Lance Drake, right?
Well, let's talk about Lance Drake.
We're going to talk about Lance Drake. Cool new music video. We did a cool new music video blog post about Lance Drake's music video today that the aforementioned Caleb Jackson wrote.
That's right. And this is for a video that... So a little bit of a side note on embeds, because our site works off embeds. Apple Music just started rolling out their embed system, which is fantastic. And it looks like, based on this, that Facebook now has a pretty kind of – I have to really kind of dig into the API stuff, but has a relatively robust or at least more than they started video embedding system.
And they got some more numbers reported.
Yeah, they're reporting views now, which is nice.
Well, because views is like their shit right now, right? And that's something we can talk about a lot. And we have talked about a little bit back when Facebook started talking about maybe bringing music videos to their platform in a kind of official capacity with the labels. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, a lot of people are claiming – I saw a video on YouTube that came out this week about, you know, people claiming first of all that YouTube inflates views. And they're, you know, they're bragging about all these view count numbers over the last couple of years, but that also a lot of that content is stolen content. And, you know, people are just like taking a YouTube video and re-uploading it on Facebook. And since Facebook is prioritizing their own embeds, that video's getting more traction in the stolen, with the stolen embed. Anyway, that does not directly relate to this video because this is a video that actually premiered on Mike Snow's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And the video is called Heart is Full, and directed by Lance Drake. And this video, I loved this video a lot. It's a little tough to describe. It kind of has a little bit of a Blade Runner vibe to it, I would say.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Would you, I got both the greens from both of you guys right off the bat. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you a hard time. It's got a, there's a lady. She's kind of badass. She's got like a, kind of like a cool car with like a kind of and she's got powers or
it's got like a dragon chain.
Okay,
an enchanted weapon of some sort.
Yeah, she kind of reminds me a little bit of the lady in Kill Bill.
Furiosa.
Yeah, she's just kind of going around kicking ass. Like the video opens with her kind of chasing after a guy, but instead of just straight chasing after him, she is like doing cartwheels, kind of flipping around.
Right. Yeah,
everything's.
I got some Run Lola Run vibes from it as well. Mm. The red wig, maybe even some Fifth Element, which is cool.
Yeah.
If you read on the blog post, because Lance Drake did a Mike Snow did a Q&A. In the Facebook comments on this video, and Lance Drake chimed in a little bit as well, and he says the influences were included but not limited to Spawn, Akira, and Ghost in the Shell.
I was going to say Akira as well. Yeah, for sure.
I can see the Ghost in the Shell stuff there. I haven't seen Spawn.
You haven't seen Spawn. I saw Spawn. I remember the Spawn HBO show, and I also remember the movie. who is it? John Leguizamo's in the movie, but who plays Spawn, Adam Alexander?
It's not Jason Lee, is it? No, because I think he had already passed away. I'm not sure.
I think Spawn's played by a black guy.
The chains are definitely Spawn inspired, I think. The weapons are what I would pull from that.
Yeah.
Because Spawn kind of had
the story that. One interesting story that also comes from Facebook and Instagram about the production of this video. But during the night shoot, in the middle of them shooting this video, Lance Drake's son was born. And he had to leave the set. And Danielle Hine had to basically finish directing the video in his place. For portions of it.
Daniel Hind, the executive producer / founder of Doomsday.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, and they posted an Instagram that was, you know, Danielle and somebody else on set and alluded to this, which is pretty crazy. That's a great, like, I've heard a lot of, like, like crazy stuff happening around the time somebody is born. Things like I know somebody who is the head of a company and like they threw a big expensive Christmas party and then their daughter was born like the night of the Christmas party.
Yeah.
So there's like little stories around that, but this takes it to a whole nother level.
I know. Yeah. And Lance also, when he shared this video on Facebook, mentions that, his kid was born right in the middle of making this video. So it'll always hold a special place in his heart. So, luckily it's a good video.
Yeah,
absolutely. Imagine being like something you want to shelve and like Alan Smithy, and also that's the night your kid was born. Mm-hmm. But this is like a really great video.
And speaking of visual effects, I screwed that up. Speaking of Robo-Shobo, who we talked about earlier in this podcast, he did visual effects for this.
Yeah, right. And so now we're speaking of visual effects.
Exactly, yeah. The visual effects are great in this because there's kind of like a cartoonish aspect to the violence here. Like, this chain, you know, will go ahead and attack people, but then when it reaches them, it will just explode in this very kind of comic book like explosion, which is a lot of fun.
Or maybe anime.
Anime, true. Yeah, I keep saying comic book, but I mean anime. Also, the lead character in this, which is a lady, wearing some very tight stuff going on here. This is a very interesting outfit that she has on. And a lot of the video kind of lingers on that. So, you know, hey, sexy video.
It doesn't hold back on the sexy.
No, we got it. And it goes full sexy, yeah.
Which is also the case for this podcast.
Absolutely. Adam, you're not pulling back on full sexy, are you?
No, definitely not.
Great. Okay.
Adam Alexander, always bringing full sexy.
Full sexy.
Did you change your bio on all your social media to just say always bringing full sexy?
Yeah, I will do that.
Huh, okay. Well, I think you guys, we kind of did it.
It feels like we did it.
What an interesting / crazy group of music videos this week.
What a week.
If you want to see them, you know, we talked about a lot of links. We put them all in the show notes for the episode. This is episode
174.
No, it's more than that. It is episode 170. If my site will load. My site. Come on, my site. It's 174.
Come on, my site's
174.
It is
174. I thought we were
past that. My uke fell on my computer. Now my sites won't load.
So go there and we put all the videos and the links and stuff there. As always, follow us on Twitter and the Facebook / IMVDB. And check out Adam Alexander. Why don't you? At Fringe Music Fix, because I fixed his embeds.
You did.
You can play him full screen.
They're full sexy.
Full sexy. Full sexy in the Fringe Music Fix. Adam, you can take that for free.
Perfect. I'm using it. New tagline.
Great. Well, we'll see you guys in the next episode.